We'll go ahead and turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, we're continuing, of course, our study, Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. Remember that Paul traveled on his first missionary journey to the part of the world which is modern-day Turkey. And on that first missionary journey, he led people to Christ and founded a number of churches. Now, he writes to them because some problems developed. After he left, if you remember, a group called Judaizers came in there, and they followed Paul, and they said that Paul had talked about Jesus, which was fine, but really it was the Mosaic Law. You had to come under the law to be saved. You had to be circumcised if you were a man. And the whole aspect of the Christian life was under the Mosaic Law. They made and taught basically works for salvation and the law for the Christian life. And of course, Paul is writing to these believers, and he's writing to tell them, to remind them that salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. It's by grace through faith that we're saved. It's a gift, and that the Christian life is a walk of faith, and it's in freedom. And this morning, as we continue, we're seeing these issues. And we're near the end. We're in the last section of the book. And in this last section, Paul really puts together a summary of the letter. And we're going to see sort of a key thing, because what he does is he shows the contrast, a contrast in boasting. And the word boasting in the Greek doesn't mean like I'm bragging on myself. It means, where's your confidence? And we're going to see a contrast and a source of confidence, because in this we see that, is it in the flesh? Is it in our works? Is it in circumcision? Is it what the Judaizers taught? Is it in what we do? Or is it in the cross of Jesus Christ, as Paul taught, what Jesus has done for us? And may we realize that our confidence must be in Christ and Him alone, the cross, our Savior, rather than our works or our goodness or what we do. Well, you know, we've always heard that it's wrong to brag and to say, well, you know, I did this or I did this. Boasting is something we shouldn't do. People say, well, don't boast about your education or your job or your abilities or your money or your possessions. And to boast really means to have a source of confidence. Well, the Bible actually says it's okay to boast, but it's according to what you boast in. Now, listen to this. This is Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, 23 says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. If you're going to boast, don't boast about how wise you are. And let not the mighty man boast of his might. If you're going to boast, don't boast how strong you are. And let not a rich man boast of his riches. If you're going to boast, don't boast how rich you are. Here's what you boast in. But let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, capital O-R-D, capital all to all capitals. That's the personal name of God. He says, let them boast that you know me, who I exercise, God exercises loving kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things. God says, if you're going to boast in anything, boast that you know me. If you're going to have confidence in anything, your confidence is in Jesus Christ. Our boasting is in the cross of Christ. How we say we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, who came and died for us and paid for sin and rose again, and we're trusting in Him and Him alone. Our source of confidence is Jesus Christ. We boast in not ourselves, but in Jesus. We're near the end of the letter, and we're seeing this great contrast, because the Judaizers, they boasted in the laws and circumcisions and the works and what they did, where Paul boasted in the cross of Jesus Christ and Jesus' death and resurrection, and that salvation was by faith and what Jesus did. And the truth is this, for every one of us in this room, if you're going to have any confidence when you stand before God, it will be your confidence is in Jesus Christ and not you, that He is your Savior. You are not the Savior. You're saved by grace through faith in Christ, not yourself. As we finish the letter, I want to remind you that as we finish this last section here, I want to remind you that Paul has been dealing in the last part of it with rewards and service and all of those kind of things. And he reminded us of a great truth of called sowing and reaping. Whatever you put in, you get out. In fact, if you look at verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you put in toward the flesh, you reap corruption. If you put in the spirit, you reap life, eternal life, basically is what he says. And that's the aspect of a blessed life and rewards. How we live now, and this is what we talked about last time, and it's something that's vital, especially when we talk about salvation being a gift, and it is, and you do nothing for your salvation. But as a saved person, you want to live in such a way that when you stand before your Savior, He says, well done, good and faithful servant. It has nothing to do with salvation, it has to do with rewards. And the Bible says that whatever you put in, you're going to get out. If you live according to your flesh, you reap corruption. You live according to the power of the Holy Spirit, there'll be life. And look at verse 9. He says, let's not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap, that's rewards, if we do not grow weary. And we talked last week about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for the things we've done in this life, whether good or worthless, basically. You will stand before your Savior, Jesus Christ. If you know Christ as Savior, you will stand before Him to be rewarded for how we lived this life. If we reap, if we sowed of the flesh, there's corruption. We sowed from the Spirit, there's life. From this, Paul begins to finish this thing up, you might say, put the letter together, and he reminds this whole idea of where is your confidence? What are you trusting in? Where is your source of boasting or confidence? And the outline of the passage just this morning is Paul is going to rebuke the Judaizers because of their boasting. Paul writes this personally. The Judaizers boasted in the flesh, meaning what they did. Paul says, if you're going to boast, he's boasting in Jesus Christ, what Christ has done. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, you're not saying, I'm going to heaven because what I've done. You're saying, I'm going to heaven because what Jesus Christ has done. Well, let's see this final statement by Paul. Look at verse 11, which is a little unusual. Look what it says. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Paul actually takes the pen in hand and writes the rest of the letter. Now, you may have thought that Paul wrote the letter, but most of the time, Paul is an educated person. He had what they call an amanuensis, which was somebody who wrote for him. So Paul would say, almost like this, take a letter. And he would sit down and he would say, let's write to these churches. Here's how I want to start it. And you write it down. And somebody wrote it down. Now, in the book of Romans, there was a guy named Tertius. Tertius wrote the book of Romans for Paul. In fact, at the very end, he says, I, Tertius, who write this letter, give you greeting. He actually wrote down the letter that Paul gave. When in Galatians, at the end, Paul says, give me the letter. I'm going to write the last part myself. He says, see with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Now, we're not really sure when Paul, what he's talking about here, because in Greek language, there are what they call minuscules, which were little bitty letters, and then we call uncials, which were bigger letters. We don't know whether Paul is saying the letter's been written in little bitty letters, and now I'm going to write in capital letters, or whether Paul is actually saying, I'm taking this pen in hand, and see, I write really big. And I'm understanding that Paul is saying, look, I'm writing really big. Because some people think, and as you remember the book of Galatians where Paul said that if possible, they would have plucked out their eyes and given them to Paul. I think Paul couldn't see very well. That's one of the reasons I don't think he wrote his own letters. I think he had somebody write the letters for him because it was just too much of a strain on his eyes. Had to do possibly, but being blinded on the road to Damascus, we don't know. Some people say that was this thorn in the flesh that he talked about, that God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Nobody knows. But toward the end, Paul says, I'm going to write this myself. Look at my big letters. And I think he's actually saying, you can tell I'm doing this because look how big the letters are. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Now he's going to put it together. And it's really a summary. And here's what he's going to say. The Judaizers are proclaiming the law and their own works. And Paul is proclaiming Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection and faith in him. Now we see this. This is what you see all over our world. This is what you see in our city. You can go to church after church and you start talking to people. What do you think a person has to do to have eternal life? And you'd be surprised at the answers. Now, the Judaizers pressed the law. They said you had to come under the law of Moses to be saved. You had to keep the law to live the Christian life and those kind of things. Now, let me just tell you something. Anytime you seek to come to God by your works, you can boast in yourself. Anytime that you do something for salvation, you can boast. You can say, I was willing to come forward. I was willing to be baptized. I was willing to try to live right. I was willing to turn away from my sin. I was willing to do this. See, there are people who will tell you in order to be saved, you need to make a public profession and turn away from your sins and give your life to Jesus and agree to serve him. And let me tell you, if you have to do all that to be saved, you can boast. You can say, yeah, I'm the one that walked down the aisle. I'm the one that gave my life to Jesus. I'm the one that turned away from my sins. I'm the one that got baptized. You can't if those have anything to do with salvation. And they don't. And the Judaizers were saying, do this, do this, do this, and this. And let me tell you, any time you tell people that they can do something to be saved, they can boast. Look at this, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you're saved through faith. Not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can what? Boast. You can't boast. None of us in this room can stand up and say, here's what I did to get saved. You didn't do a thing. Jesus Christ did it all, and he offered you the gift of eternal life, and you received the gift. You took the gift by faith. And so anytime that happens, anytime people front load or back load, meaning you got to do this to be saved, you got to do this to stay saved. Anytime you put works involved in it, you can boast. And as I said a while ago, we hear this all the time. Pray to be saved, give your life, join a church, be baptized, turn from sin, do good, keep persevering, do all these things. And the Judaizers boasted in the fact that they were trying to keep the Mosaic law, that they were circumcised if they were a man, that they did this and they did this and they did all of these things. Now, let me ask you this question. This is something just to think about, and we'll see it in this next verse. Why were the Judaizers pressing the fact that they did all of these things? Two reasons. Because in Christ there is no boasting. Two reasons. One, because it looked good outwardly. When you look religious, you look good. And the second one is to avoid the persecution. Let me show you what we mean by that. The first one is to look good. When you're religious, you look good. Look what he goes on to say. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised. He says, those who desire to look good in the flesh. See, when you want to be religious, you look good. You look pious. The word good showing means a well-faced. It means to present something that looks good. And see, that's what religious people do. When a person thinks you can come to God through what you do, you say, I'm going to look good. I'm going to do this, and people are going to see this. You remember the religious leaders at Jesus' time? Do you know when they gave? You know how they did it? They would go into the temple, and there were these big jars. They had big bottoms, and then the little tops came up like this, and you put money. And the reason they had the tops real narrow is because so people couldn't stick their hands down there and steal the money. And so they had it. And some of the rich people, when they went in, they had people blow trumpets, and everybody would look over there, and they would put their money in because they wanted to look good. And Jesus said, sometimes these guys walk around with these flowing robes and they want the best seats in the synagogue. They want to look good. You know what Jesus called them? He called them whitewashed tombs. He said, you look good on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. And that's what religion does. Religion looks good on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. You can't be saved from the outside in. You got to be saved from the inside out. Jesus Christ changes you. And they wanted to look good. And listen to what he says. Those who desire to make a good showing. One of the reasons that they had the law and all of these things that they wanted people to do is so they would look good. Then he says to them, he says, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, to come under the law. If you keep the law, you'll look spiritual. And by the way, that is so true. If you try to keep laws and things, you'll look spiritual. He says they wanted them to do that. They wanted the Galatians to come under the law. You remember Paul told them, you're saved by grace through faith. You're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. A man's not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. And then these people came in and said, no, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and this will make you look better. And when you do this, people will know. And that's what they've done. And we see the same thing today. And there are people who come up with rules, and they have like 10 things. Okay, if you don't smoke, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't go to these things, you don't do this, you don't. Listen, I grew up in Mississippi. And in Mississippi, if you're really a Christian, you don't do like about 14 different things that they have listed, right? Because that's how they think you're a Christian in a lot of places. Do you realize that putting down a set of rules, you remember we've already seen that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. You can't give rules that make you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That can't happen. In fact, when you put rules down, they don't help you. Listen to what Paul wrote. This is in Colossians, okay? Look what he writes to the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 23. He says, these are matters, he's talking about rules. These are matters which, to be sure, they have the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion when you have the rules and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but they're no value against the flesh. You understand that if you said, I'm not going to do this, 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 I'm not going to, that's not going to make you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's not going to make you live holy and righteously and godly. Law cannot produce holiness. In fact, law produces just the opposite. Just remember the old thing that if you make a law, it causes people to want to break the law. Don't look through this hole. You're walking by and it says, do not look through this hole. You're saying, nobody going to tell me not to look through a hole. I'm going to look through a hole, right? That's what happens. Law causes sin, by the way. So the first reason that the Judaizers were doing all this is that made them look religious. But the second reason, they avoided persecution. Notice what he goes on to say. So that they will not be persecuted. This is the end of verse 12. So that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. What is he talking about? And here's what Paul says. Paul says back in Galatians 5:11, but brethren, if I'm preaching circumcision, why am I persecuted? The stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Listen, when you proclaim Jesus Christ and faith alone and Christ alone, you'll be persecuted. You'll be persecuted by the fallen world, and you'll be persecuted by many Christians. You understand that? At the time that this was written, when Paul says that they were persecuted for the cross of Christ under the Roman law, Judaism was legal. Christianity was not. And by the time it gets a little further on, there begin to be the distinction between being a Jew and being a Christian. And Paul was saying, listen, when you stand for Christ and the cross of Christ, they're going to persecute you. And let me tell you this, and you know this, those of you who stand for the grace message of salvation, you'll be persecuted. When you tell people that it's just faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing, it's not how I'm going to live and how I look and what do I do. It's faith alone and Christ alone for eternal life. You will be persecuted. There will be people say that you're wrong. There'll be people say that you're leading people astray. There'll be people say that you're making it too easy for people to be saved. I've told you over and over that there are people, there's a sweetest person I know who comes to our church occasionally, does not live here, but visits. And I've told you this over and over, but I got to tell you again. This person comes occasionally about once every 4 or 5 months. Sweetest person stops me at the door and says this every time. I love you, JB, but you're making it too easy for people to be saved. Because this person believes that it's more than faith. They believe that you have to do good in order to be saved. When you stand for Christ in this community and you say you believe it's only faith in Christ plus nothing, you'll be persecuted. The cross of Christ goes against the grain to every human being. When you tell a human being there's not one thing you can do to be saved, that Jesus has done it all, he died and paid for your sins, he rose conquering death, he's offering a gift, the gift of eternal life, it is not by your commitment to him, it is by your faith in him for eternal life. When you tell people that, that goes against the grain. So, he says to these Judaizers, or he's writing about them, and he says, they desire to make a good showing. They want to look good, and they want you to be a part of it, and they won't do this so they won't be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Let me tell you, if you're going to be persecuted, let's be persecuted for the right thing. Let's be persecuted for standing for Jesus Christ and faith alone in Christ alone. That's what you want to stand for. Now, it's no surprise as we look at verse 13 that the people who pushed the law and circumcision didn't keep the law themselves. Look at verse 13. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. He says, no surprise that, by the way, that's when you proclaim Christ, you'll be persecuted. Look, the Judaizers, they didn't keep the law. They were not able to keep the law. They wanted others to come under the law, but they didn't keep it themselves. It's just like the religious leaders. The religious leaders in Rome and Jesus' time, they had all these rules that they laid on people. But Jesus said, you don't keep them, but you tell everybody else they have to keep them. The Judaizers didn't keep the law, but they told the Galatians you had to keep the law. We see it all the time. James 2:10, if any man tries to keep the law, yet offends it in one point, you are guilty of the whole thing. You can't keep the law, by the way. Can't keep it. Notice he says, they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. They wanted to, that you belong to them. The Judaizers said, these are our people. The Galatians are our people. We've got them following what we follow. Listen, if you're going to follow anything, follow Jesus Christ and him alone. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. There is a naturalness in every human being that we need to do something to get to God. That's the fallen world and it's a fallen nature. And we believe that somehow, by us doing something, we can earn God's pleasure. First of all, God's already pleased. God's already satisfied in Jesus Christ. And there's not one thing we could ever do to earn His satisfaction. It's already done. We're not trying to please God. He's already pleased. God says, come to me. I have eternal life as a gift for you. So as we get to the end, what does Paul say? He says, listen, the Judaizers are boasting in the flesh. Paul says, you know who I'm going to boast in? I'm boasting in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. But may it never be that I would boast, except if I'm going to ever boast, I'm going to boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which this world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If I'm going to boast, I'm boasting in Jesus Christ. We boast in the cross of Christ. And when we talk about the cross of Christ, we're talking about Jesus dying on the cross, paying for sin, and rising again. The good news message is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ is what Jesus did for us. In Philippians 2, it talked about how He left the glories of heaven to become a human being, to die on the cross, to pay for sin, and to be highly exalted and raised up. Look how Paul describes Jesus in this passage. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, the word Lord is kurios. It means master. It means deity. He's saying that Jesus is God. The name Jesus means Savior, and Christ means the anointed one of God. He said, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in Jesus Christ, who is my Savior, who is my God, and who is the one sent by God to be the Savior of the world, the Messiah and the Savior. If you're going to boast at all, it better be in Jesus Christ. He's all we've got. If we boast in anything, it is Jesus. We boast in our Savior Jesus Christ, who died and rose for us. We have eternal life, not by what we do, but by what Jesus Christ has already done, and we put our trust in Him. He ends this with a little different part when he says, that may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the cross of Christ, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We have to understand that when we trust in Jesus Christ, just as He died and rose again, we died and rose again with Him. We saw that in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And this life that I live. And so we died and rose again with Christ. And Paul says, when I died and rose again with Christ, I don't have to be controlled by this fallen world and my flesh. We saw it in Galatians 5:24 when he said that it's been crucified. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, says we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. That's what he means when he says, I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. We no longer have to be under the authority of the world and the flesh and the devil. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. So may we have our confidence in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, giving us eternal life and victory in the Christian life. It's Jesus. So what did the Judaizers say? Come to the law. Be circumcised. Keep the law. You will be saved and you can stay saved. What did Paul say? It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. He died and rose again. You believe in Him, you have eternal life. So application, what are you boasting in? Where is your confidence? Is it yourself, your goodness, your works, what you've done, what you tried to do, what you're going to keep on doing? Or is it you're boasting in the eternal life with Jesus Christ by faith? Salvation is all of Jesus. It's not us. And let me tell you something. When we stand before our God, our only claim to have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. It's not through what we do. It's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved. Whoever believes has eternal life. One other thing, and that's this. May we live for Jesus Christ. We died and rose again with Christ to a new life. It is not by law. It is by grace through faith. The Christian life is lived in the same way that we're saved. We're saved by grace through faith. We live the Christian life as a walk of faith. The change is from the inside out, not the outside in. It is not religion that saves us. It is not religion by which we live the Christian life. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. We live the Christian life by grace through faith in Christ. As Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the word of God. May our confidence be in Jesus and the cross where he died and rose again, that we would have eternal life as a gift by faith, and that we'd live our Christian life as a walk of faith, not by law, but by grace through faith in Jesus.